Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
How many of you like idioms? Any idiom people? We kind of have a funny thing at our house because Blondie kind of struggles with idioms sometimes. She kind of gets them messed up. I remember one time we were sitting around and we were all kind of teasing one another, and she grabbed something and threw it at Eli, and she goes, "Quick thoughts," instead of "think fast." And we're like, "What?" You know, quick thoughts. What? Just actually last week where something interesting happened, and she said, "Well, that's food for your brain," instead of "that's food for thought." It's food for your brain. And so we kind of have a funny thing. But there's some other idioms that you've probably heard. And if you've heard this idiom, just kind of raise your hand, okay? Because I want to see it. How many of you have ever heard, well, for all intents and purposes, that's not an idiom. That's an idiom. No, that actually is not correct. For all intents and purposes doesn't make sense, because that would mean for a specific thing that's very thorough. No, for all intents and purposes, and it actually comes from old legal jargon that means for all intents, constructs, and purposes. And they just kind of said, "Oh, for all intents and purposes." Like my Yukon, for all intents and purposes, is a Suburban, right? You kind of have like that. So I mean, they're pretty much the same thing. It's relatively just about the same type of thing. Or how many of you heard this one? This one, everyone, I heard it messed up, and it's kind of funny when you think about it. You know what? I'm gonna nip that in the butt. As if somebody's doing something wrong, you go pinch them in the rear end. That'll straighten them out. It's not, "I'm going to nip that in the butt." That's gross. No, it's, "I'm going to nip that in the bud." As in something is starting. Oh, we laugh about it, but a lot of people say it. I've heard that said, "Well, you're just going to nip that in the butt." No, I'm not. I'll go to jail. Absolutely no. Not going to nip it in the butt. I'm not nipping anything in the butt. Okay? It means to prune something back. Nip it in the bud means to stop it while it's just beginning to form, before it gets anywhere. Well, you know, there's an idiom that we have kind of been flirting around through our journey in Proverbs. We've been looking at it, and it's very important. In fact, it's the backbone of the entire book of Proverbs. And arguably, it's a backbone throughout all the books of wisdom. Okay? And it is what we're going to look at today. So we came across it our first week, and we said we're going to come back to it. So as I promised, today's the day we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord. So that's our entire conversation this morning. 3 points. Let's do the first point. Number one, what the fear of the Lord is not. Okay, what the fear of the Lord is not. Now, Proverbs 1, verse 7, let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." When we look at the word, the fear of the Lord, the phrase, the fear of the Lord, it's interesting. It's this Hebrew word for fear, yara. And this word is got some connotations. It actually has three meanings, okay? It's kind of three meanings. And the first meaning is the one that we all are fairly familiar with. It means dread or terror, okay? Dread or terror. And we can understand this. In fact, this word is kind of used when Jonah the sailors on the boat with Jonah, and the storm came, and they said that they had fear. They had this yara, this fear, because their life was about to end. You get in a really scary situation, you have dread or you have terror that you are about to perish. That's this word. So is he saying, hey, you're supposed to have dread or have terror about the Lord? Well, when we consider the power and the holiness of God, certainly there is a sense of fear for the unjust. Okay, so I don't want to sit there and begin this conversation and not be very plain. Now, I remember when I first came here all those years ago, we went through a long process and had meetings with people. And I remember sitting down in the fellowship hall downstairs, and people were talking about hiring me and asking me to come. I remember someone coming up to me and basically saying this: "We don't want any hellfire and brimstone preaching." Okay, what would you like? Let me take your order. Okay, how about this? We preach the word of God. And I get it. I understand that. I mean, because certainly, in my early Christian journey, I remember going to one particular church camp. It's nothing that we're affiliated with here. It was, out east. And I remember being scared to death every night. And I mean, the same people got saved every night because the preacher's job was to convince them that they were going to hell because they weren't perfect. And it was kind of scary stuff. And he's talking about judgment and talking about all these things. And it was very discomforting to a young man. It's very discomforting to an old man to talk about the judgment of God. I mean, because we kind of have this idea. Is the fear of the Lord? Does it only, if we want to have an honest discussion about the fear of the Lord, does it only mean that God's going to get you? No. It's kind of like saying, you better watch out. You better watch out. And sadly, this view is often cultivated and perpetuated within certain religious circles. And thus, some individuals find their service to God based in fear rather than in love. And they serve God out of a sense of dread, serve God out of a sense of, oh, I have to do this, and I really, really need to get on to this. God, the image of God is that of a cruel taskmaster, an angry tyrant who at any moment may go off. And some of us, we may have had fathers who were like that. I know that I had a lot of, growing up with an alcoholic father, I didn't know what I was going to get. I didn't know if it was going to be sober dad or off the top dad or happy dad or angry dad who you did one thing and pow. And don't think that our relationships there somehow don't get transferred to our God image. Okay? I better watch out because God is waiting there like this huge, angry, unstable monster getting ready to pounce on his enemies. Now let me take this a little further here because I want to be balanced. Jonathan Edwards, one of the most famous sermons ever preached, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I want to read you a portion of this. Edwards preached, "The bow of God's wrath is bent and the arrow made ready on the string, and justice bends the arrow at your heart and strains the bow, and it is nothing but the mere pleasure of God and that of an angry God without any promise or obligation at all that keeps the arrow one moment from being made drunk with your blood." Okay, let's have chicken. I mean, it's hard stuff now, isn't it? What was he talking about? He's talking about this understanding that this first understanding of the fear of God having to do with dread or terror. I get that it's not popular. I really do. I get that it's not popular to talk about this. But the truth is, if you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a personal relationship, that really is the only fear that we can have, is one of dread and terror. And I get to say that this is all, that the fear of the Lord is very shallow and it limits our understanding. I don't believe that that's what the fear of the Lord means. Matthew 10:28, Jesus actually picks this sentiment up and he says, just Jesus' words, okay? He says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell." So is there a sense of dread and terror that we, if we want to understand the fullness of this phrase, the fear of the Lord? Certainly. And this is spurred on by Old Testament stories. I mean, I've had conversation after conversation with people talking about, oh, you know what, God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. Horrible, horrible God. How could he wipe out the whole cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Hang on, Mr. Self-Righteous. Back up just a little bit. Because what we read is just prior to that, that these are the individuals, the entire city was trying to rape God's messengers and Lot's virgin daughters. I want to tell you this. Some guy breaks his way into my house and tries to force himself physically upon my daughters and my wife, and a law enforcement officer shows up and there's an altercation. He ends up using absolute force, lethal force. I'm not going to view him as a bad, angry, evil person. I'm going to be very thankful of a protecting father, of a protecting intervention. What about the flood? Oh, yeah, the flood. I've lost track of how many people I have real discussions with who say, I don't want to have anything to do with that God. He's the Old Testament, mean, angry, crotchety old man who sits there just waiting to go off on people. How could God wipe out people with the flood? You silly, stupid Christians. Well, let's look at what was going on. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of his thought, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. Look, man, there's some rough stuff that happens. There's some true wickedness that sits there. And this is the time it says, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart, so that the Lord said, I'll blot out man whom I've created from the face of the earth, and land, and man, and animals, and creeping things, and birds of heaven, for I am sorry that I've made them. Verse 8 shows us the other side. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. There's a reason that God hates sin. Sin separates us from God. And sin also causes us to damage our brothers and sisters so that they can't experience the love of God. God loves. That's why he created. God loves us. So is there a sense when we're looking at this very complicated and difficult thing? You know, I take issue with some preachers nowadays who say, oh, there's no such thing as judgment. That's just an old thing. You know, that's all meant to control the masses. And we write that stuff into doctrine to try to control the masses so there's a sense of order for society. That's incorrect. Okay? People who preach that there's no such thing as judgment or wrath because God would never do anything that we are not agreeable with is incorrect. I get that it feels good and I get that it's popular, but it drags God down to a human level so that we can understand him. I guarantee this. The day that God is fully understood by me is the day that he ceases to be God. And I know I'm very, very, very smart. But the deal is, God goes far beyond. God goes far beyond the intellect of mankind. When you look at the beauty of creation, just where we exist as a planet, that we can have the perfect place and the perfect type of solar system that's guarded from space debris, and we're just at the right distance from the sun to give us just the amount of warmth and just the amount of heat. We have all these things on this razor-thin balance that can sustain life. He's a pretty wise architect. I remember when this really made sense to me. I was detasseling for Burris, and I got out there and I was looking at some crazy weed, and I just looked at it and just started to almost get lost in the intricate detail and could see the seeds and how they were attractive for it. And I thought, my heavens, this can't be random. There's got to be a pattern. That was my moment of understanding here. So. I struggle with preachers who preach that, and because, you know, those who promote that, I fear, are heretical and attempting to propagate a theology that is not true and doesn't resonate with the fullness of Scripture. So we say this: we are not called to be afraid of God by living in panic of what he's going to do to us. But rather we are to live in appreciation of what God has done for us, which brings our next two understandings of the definition of Yara, the fear of the Lord. So what the fear of the Lord is it dread, terror? Well, that's a part, but that's not the only part. It's way beyond dread or terror. And the next definition we see is to stand in awe of someone in authority, such as a king. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 3:28. They recognized that the Spirit of God was upon this king, and they reverenced him. They had awe and submitted to him. Now think about this. What is a king's job? To take care of his kingdom. The king's responsibility is to protect, to provide, to govern, to lead. It's all on them, and God is a wonderful, great king. And so that's part of his job. So let me get this. If you were having, let's say, a visiting dignitary was coming to your house. So you have a job, and you're working. It's a huge company. I mean, an absolutely enormous company. And you're having the CEO, the big kahuna, the big cheese, over to your house for dinner. Are you just going to say, well, just show up? Or are you going to go all out trying to clean up? You're even going to put those towels that you don't let your husband use, right? You're going to put those out. You're going to put those in. You clean everything out. You're going to go the extra mile to kind of clean things. You're going to tell the kids to behave. You're going to put the pets outside so they don't jump on anything. You want everything to be just so, right? No, Pastor, we're having hot dogs and maid rights. Yeah! Welcome to Piketucky. Yeehaw! No, you're not. You want to make a good impression. People that matter, you're going to go that extra mile. So look, this is in fear in terms of awe and in reverence of someone in authority. And I get it's hard for us to understand that because it's hard to find a politician worth any form of honor right now, right? And we live in Illinois. How many of our governors are in jail? We have a prison ministry. It's called politics, right? It's insane. Right? So it's hard for us, I will grant you, it's hard for us for that to translate. But when we understand authority in the purest sense of one who takes that responsibility, one who understands that's their job. But the third definition is even more complicated for us. It means to revere and respect, but it's got the connotations as parents. To fear and respect as parents. And that's where you see in Leviticus 19:3. So wait a minute. We're supposed to fear. We're supposed to approach God and have a reverence and respect like parents. Here's why that's difficult. Because we live in the day and age where that's not a fabric of our society anymore. In fact, we live in arguably one of the more disrespectful times that has ever been. Now, why is that? I've given some thought time to that. Because it's difficult. If we struggle with our concept of the fear of the Lord, a lot of that is because we have problems in authority and we have problems in the family. And when we have problems with authority and problems within the family, it leaves its mark on our understanding of who God is. So we're supposed to revere and respect our parents. They are tasked with loving for us, for caring for us. God set it up that way. This is the image of the fear that we're supposed to have for God. We're to honor them because God has tasked them to teach, to train, to raise and protect. And for all the kids in the room here, the fifth commandment, right up there with don't kill, right up there with don't lie, right up there with don't steal is number 5. Honor your father and mother. Moses, why couldn't you have broken that tablet? All right, gang? And here's why. Because, now, I started ministry when music and youth. A long time ago. Going on 25 years ago. And I have lost track of the number of conversations that I've had with kiddos who say, I can't take the long ride home. All they get, they feel that their worth and their love is how they perform in an athletic event or how they do on a test or how they do in a report card. And man, I am guilty. I have struggled with this. I've had my kids give me the same thing. Oh my gosh, I hate the ride home. And I've had to do some soul searching and recognize that it's part of our culture. But we can get overbearing and we can get out of balance. We don't take the God-ordained aspect of raising a child in the fear of the Lord. And so yeah, for some of us, I had some poor examples there. And I'm going to give my folks, a mulligan because I knew their folks. And I can see that it was passed down from generation to generation. So please pray for my kids. Please pray for them. And sadly, as I talk to these people, I'm serious. These kids are to the point of near breakdown with the pressure that's thrown upon them. Like we're all going to be, professional actors or professional singers or professional athletes or professional whatever. And so we take the joy and the fun of parenting. And moreover, forget the joy and the fun. We take the God-ordained aspect of raising them and teaching them about who God is. Guys, that's number one. 100% of our children will stand before the Lord and we are responsible. Children, grandchildren alike. As sad as I've had kids break down and just snotting all over the place, losing it, crying, saying that their parents don't love them as much when they don't win or when they don't succeed or when their stat line doesn't measure up or when they don't get the perfect report card or they don't get the A. And they really, really think that the love that their parents have for them is tied into how they do. How crazy are we? Is that how God loves us? And I hope not. Hey, I'm chief of sinners. I'm working, but I'm telling you, I'm working. I recognize this, and I recognize I've had a long way to go, and I'm continuing to try to change. And for many of us, I get it. I get it that we are out of balance. And sometimes, we live in this place where we're so distracted and we're so caught up parents doing so many things, and we don't have the time to spend with our kids that we wish we did. So when we are with our kids, the last thing we want to do is be the heavy. So we don't lay down the law. We don't teach them about hard boundaries. We don't teach them about eternal truth. No, everything is relative. And then what we try to do is rather than disciplining our kids, they're the precious baby who can never do anything wrong. So it's always someone else. It's always the coach or the teacher or the school board or the boss or the director. And we can name it on and on and on and on and on and on and on because somehow I can defend my kids since I don't do what I'm supposed to. I'm going to just pick it up on that side. Man, preacher, that's harsh. There, guys. What does this have to do with the fear of the Lord? Man, it's got everything to do with the fear of the Lord. Because we got to come back to a sense of balance. It complicates our view. And it can be difficult to find godly leaders. It can be difficult sometimes for us to experience, none of us are perfect parents in the room. We didn't have them. We are not them. But consider God's original intent and God's original intent for mankind and God's original intent for marriage and God's original intent for family and for governance is a long way off of where we dwell right now. And so the onus is on us to begin to recognize the eternal truths that God has. He's reaching out to us and he's saying, I love you. So what the fear of the Lord is, the fear of the Lord is something awesome. It's a combination of understanding the absolute power and holiness of God and being in awe of his authority and walking in reverence of him as your heavenly Father. It's being awestruck and having reverence. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord. Okay, this type of thing encompassing all three is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the one, of the Holy One is insight. Fear God as a righteous judge, be in awe and submission of him as a powerful king, and respect him as a loving father. Now, why should we do that? Let me give you a quick list, and then we'll get ready to wrap up here. Just a quick list of the benefits of fearing the Lord. Because before I sign up for something, I like to know what's the plus side. You ready for the plus side? Because it's a pretty good plus side here. And this is only a partial list. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied, and he will not be visited by harm. Proverbs 19:23. Sign me up. Would you like that? How about this? Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. Wait a minute. How does that work? How many of you have ever made a bold-faced, knucklehead decision rejecting God's word? Am I the only charter member? I'll make t-shirts. Right? Well, why should I do what God's word says? It's not as fun that way. I don't know why I got a ticket. Yeah, exactly. All right. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. Why? Because you're doing stupid things. But the years of the wicked will be short. Sounds right? Sounds right? If I don't commit armed robbery, I'm a whole lot less likely to be shot, right? Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Okay, so what does the fear of the Lord do? It causes us to hate evil. It's there so that we will have it. I'm so sick of this whole, we have no conscience to what we do anymore. Boy, it doesn't take me long to read the headlines to get my blood pressure to go north pretty quickly when we live in a time where we can say that murder is good. Really? Murder is good. Or theft is good. Really? Oh, it's justifiable. Really? What's the end game? What's the end game? Proverbs 23:17. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all day. And Acts 9:31. This is really good because this shows how the church can grow. So the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. This is awesome, guys. So the fear of the Lord opens us up to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This fear of the Lord helps us to obey. It helps us to continue on and to embrace the teaching of God, which brings me to my final point here today. And man, this is where the rubber hits the road. Because if you're like me, you grew up understanding that there is only one fear of the Lord, and that is this: Jonathan Edwards, sinner in the hands of an angry God, which is not incorrect. Do not say, well, he's dissing on Jonathan Edwards. No, I'm not. I'm saying that is very real. If you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, you have only one fear of God, and that is expectant judgment. But my final point is this. This is a good one. A relationship with Christ changes what the fear of the Lord means to a believer. When you accept Jesus Christ, as we read our scripture for the day in Psalms, Madeline, I appreciate Madeline reading that, is we no longer have that type of fear because God has been better to us than we deserve. And now He entreats us as a loving Heavenly Father. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, and this is a long verse, so take a breath and let's all kind of come together. You know what? Let's all read this together. It's 20 verses, it's a long verse, and boy, let's just try to get this together. Ready? Let's all read it so that way we think. Take a deep breath. Ready? Ephesians 2, 1 through 20. Ready? Go. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Gang, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's what Jesus did for us. that now we have been liberated from the constraints of the law and we can see Him. If you say, yeah, I got baptized and I'm so glad I got baptized. That was one of the best days of my life, but now I really don't give Him much thought. I'm not trying to, you know, point fingers, but if that's you, you don't fear the Lord. And your fear of the Lord needs to grow. Because He's a loving Father. Our fear is now awe and reverence, submission and dedication. And so, my final question for us all is this. Do you fear the Lord? Not that angry.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.